Hey, I'm Loredana.
And I'm Christina.
And welcome to Spirit Says. Hey.
Hello, and welcome to Two Tech Savvy Broads. Do you want to learn how not to start a podcast?
It is now 11:46. We started
at 11 was, yeah, good times. I need my daughter when anything technology-wise is around. And I won't even ask my husband anymore because he just yells at me. He's like, I told you a million times how to do this. I'm like,
but something is coming through because you were like, wait a minute, you need to log off. And I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Every once in a while. Ask me the same question next week. I will forget it. I'll be like, how did we do that? I don't understand my brain.
Oh, my goodness.
I threw that in the garbage. Apparently, that wasn't important enough for me to remember.
Wow. Anyway, yeah. So, well, here we are. Here we are.
Yeah. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes. Yes. Welcome to our lives. This is just a little preview as to what goes on daily in our lives.
Yeah. Basically, what happened was
we had a plan.
Had a plan. Fell through, and then when we finally got it, Lori hangs up. She's like, I just hung up on you. I'm like, I know. And then I sit here waiting for you to answer, and guess who never sent it? Apparently I thought I invited you, and I'm sitting here, I'm like,
I know, you were like, I said it. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, where the hell is it?
I'm like, let me just look back at the text message here. Did I actually send her anything? No. Okay, cool. Let's play that one off real cool. Like, oh my God. Okay.
All right. Here we are.
You know, in case you thought we were not real people, we are.
Oh,
we're just like you guys. I mean, so stupid.
Oh, man.
Okay, so cool. We're on to the Nyamba. I feel like I'm saying Mumbo number 5. No, we're on to Nyamba the number 9. Yes, correct me if I'm wrong. And most of the time I'm wrong. So.
Hold on, wait. Well, it's not Nyamba 5, you mean?
No, Nyamba. No, it's not. It is a Nyamba, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's Nyamba, but I'm saying out of the whole thing, yes, it is 9. Wait, 1,
number
two,
9, right?
Seven.
Four, 5 Yamas.
What? Do you see me? This whole thing. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, six.
So far, this is the makings of a great episode.
This is eight.
What the heck? How much because we have? Oh my gosh, here you go.
What do we have? Self-study next week, which is Svadhyaya.
I love that.
I've never even heard of this one, Ishvara, Pranidhana.
Oh yeah, that's bliss, right?
Yeah.
That's when we just, you know, turn into gurus, and that's
all right. Well, then tune into that one definitely. Because I'd like to see how that's going to work.
I actually don't
even
know if that one's bliss, so whatever.
I think it's surrender. That's total surrender.
Okay, surrender is good. So today we're talking about tapas, which is about self-discipline, also to burn, to create heat. I don't know if you read that. Yeah, cool. And then just a little, I guess, kind of something I'm quoting or kind of like almost quoted, because I don't know if I wrote this down proper exactly. It says, because you will burn and you will pure, okay, that sounded bad, because you will burn it and to purify it. So you have to burn something to purify it. The more you fire gold, the more it becomes gold. So you know, metaphorically speaking, we're not talking about, guys, we're starting a gold business.
really
gotta burn gold. Next on the list, burn gold. No. Lori, I remember last time when we were talking about how we were going to do this topic, you were saying it's a heavy topic. I don't know if you still stand
it's
by that.
It's heavy. It's heavy, I guess, mostly because it's something that we all need to practice, and we all, I guess, I'm going to speak for the entire universe and say,
please do,
that we all don't practice. I mean, I would say a lot don't practice self-discipline, because we let our fears talk for us, and we stay comfortable. So we'd rather not go, because tapas is staying on the course during the challenging times. Like, it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be peaceful, but to get to the healing, you have to go through it. You know, to get through it, you have to go through it. Yeah. So I think that self-discipline is a hard one, you know. Self-discipline, you know, doesn't mean like wake up at 4, you know, get on the mat, like, you know, like, it doesn't mean that, but it can mean that if you're looking to find some sort of, you know, to clear the impurities, emotionally and emotionally and physically and mentally. I think you need a lot of self-discipline in your life.
I think that what you're talking about too is, like, people think, you know, if you go on perhaps a yogic path, for instance, just because you mentioned, you know, getting on the mat and all that stuff, but people think that self-discipline means that you have to follow, not self-discipline itself, but when you're being disciplined towards a certain subject, that you have to follow that subject to the T, that there's no room for your own
interpretation.
You know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're right. Just to clarify, I'm all about, like, what is your interpretation? What works for your life? We're all individuals. So please remember that. You know, something that works for someone else may not work for you. So as far as if you're going forward in any particular practice, you can take what works for you, let go of what doesn't work for you. But right, as like when we're talking about the niyama du jour, discipline, it's hard to, you know, when you think of the word discipline as a word and the things that you connect to that word.
Yeah.
But also just kind of understand making that word your own. You might have like negative connotations because you think about growing up in a religion or a childhood or this and that. And you think, oh, I want to rebel, you know.
Right, but right, right. Mm-hmm.
It just means, you know, kind of what is your goal that you're after? How do you want to see yourself? And then actually taking the reins on the, you know, chariot of life and deciding, I'm gonna actually practice something every single day so that I get better at it. I get good at it. And it's gonna be hard at first. That's where the pain is, right? It's gonna be hard at first.
Right.
But then eventually we're going to get to the gold, which is, you know, just a bunch of metaphors.
No. But it's like you said, okay. So before we started this, you said something about you were feeling like you didn't find the balance yet between acting and your yoga practice, right? And you're just like, this is too much. But you know that acting brings you the results that you want in your life, like that makes you happy, but you know that yoga does the same thing, so you're like, how do I do this? So you're showing up for both. I think showing up is a big part of it. You're showing up for both so that you can find the balance, right? You're literally making a choice to burn away the non-supportive habits every day. Yeah. You know, you're like, you know what, that's not going to help me, I'm just not going to do that one. But you know, it takes every day showing up, I think, for you to get to where you want to be. Like, you're trying to find that balance again between, you know, all your lives, because you play a dozen roles. It's not just the role of yoga teacher and yoga practicer and, you know, acting. You know, you're a mom, you're a wife, you're a writer, you're doing a bunch of things. So it's you know, it's just showing up. I think it's just showing up so that you can get to the highest version of yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think that if we sit here and we think so much about the things that we want, but we don't take action, we don't have the discipline, then we're not going to achieve our goal. And we're going to just keep, it's just going to be still so far in the distance if we don't practice every single day. Mm-hmm. Or you mm-hmm. know, but I'm not saying that I don't like the idea of okay, just to clarify what I think about so you're talking about me wanting to try to find the balance between acting and yoga. I mean, the first part of my life, it was all about acting, you know. Mm-hmm. Then I guess at about 29 years old, I got my yoga teacher training, and then my focus was split, but because there was one point in my life where I decided that I was probably too old to pursue a career in acting, I spent probably a whole year trying to tell myself, nope, you're not going to be an actress, so just forget about it. And you can't, and it's really hard to get that out of your head. I mean, it's really hard to get acting out of your head if that's like your passion. If you're right. mm-hmm. someone that, you know, has a passion for something, I don't know. But I know especially with acting, it's really hard to say, no, you're done with that. So I did gotcha. Have to right. dig like a deep, deep hole, like get really, really down to the point where I'm just like, I'm not doing it anymore. But it was always just, you know, popping up to the surface all the time.
Yeah, because that was your true self. Because that exactly. was your true self. And you were trying yeah. to push it away. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then it's interesting because after, you know, the shutdown and all of that stuff. And I didn't think I was going to come back to wanting to do acting. But I and even during the shutdown, I was all about teaching yoga and giving and thinking to myself, this is what the thing is that I need to do. I need to continue to help people, to give people yoga, because not because I, you know, just because I know that it helps people and I want to be able to share something very special that is individually special to each individual. Right. I wanted to be able to give them that so they have hope, so that they know right. that they can. And I'm not talking about yoga, the practice of doing yoga, even though that has many benefits, mental and physical and spiritual, mm-hmm. Because people tend to, you know, just see yoga and then think it's all physical. It's not. But, so then I don't know what happened, but I think it's always just because people are like, you should act. When are you going to act again? And I was just like, oh, I'm not doing that anymore. And then I heard it again and I'm like, what am I stopping myself from doing? Why am I stopping mm-hmm. myself from doing something that I really want to do, that I'm talented in, that I enjoy it? And I'm sitting here denying it. So right. now I'm like, okay, so I'm acting it. So then I went, of course, in the opposite direction of yoga for the past, I feel like, 3 weeks, where I was focusing on that one thing to try to help it get better. Right. And I know that that's something that actually my husband says, just work on one thing at a time. He's all into like all the Tony.
How come we can't do that?
I know. But you know what? The thing is that I still teach yoga. It's a passion of mine, and it's a part of my life and my practice. So I needed to realize that I had to find the balance between acting and yoga, even though to me they seem like polar opposites. But one is to be, you know, like yoga honestly is to just kind of be real.
right. Yeah.
Acting is like to force emotions on yourself and yeah. make them real, but you don't really want to have those emotions, but you have to because it's the part.
Right. You know? Right. Right.
So just, that's what I'm working on this week. And so much needed is the discipline, is the schedule that I wake up in the morning. I do the exercise that I want to do, the yoga, the meditation, all of that stuff. I need to have all of that done. You know, I need to have that written in the schedule. Yeah. And it goes against my nature completely to be a disciplined person, honestly.
I know, but I feel like after, and I think that that's what I meant when you asked me that question before and you said, wow, this was really deep. I think that's what I meant by when I read about this topic. I was like, I didn't realize how much self-discipline is actually a good thing as opposed to living this like free will, la-di-da kind of world, you know, like life mm-hmm. that I love to live. This like, oh, whatever happens to me, well, you know, is meant to be, which I still believe in, but I do believe that there are certain things I do want to accomplish in this world. There are certain things that I do have goals for, and the only way to achieve them is truly through self-discipline. It's not like, oh, well, the universe is just going to give it to me. Like, no, I mean, the reality is you still have to work at it. And that's, yeah. that's in all theological, you know, reasoning, you know, whether it's universal, whether it's through, you know, God, or whether it's through, you know, any spiritual practice, you still mm-hmm. have to work at it. It's not just going to be handed over to you. It's not going to be like, if you say this mantra 10 times, you know, you're going to get $1 million. Like, it just doesn't work that way. What are you putting into your goal, into your life, in order to get something out of it? So I totally get where you're coming from. Like, I'm
not sort even going to lie to you. In the past, I thought there was probably a mantra that you said.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Same here. Yes. No. Absolutely. But I mean, the truth of the matter is, like, you as a person that wants this thing still has to put your 2 cents in, you know, 2 cents, yeah. 10 cents, whatever it might be. Like, you still have to. Yeah. You have to, because it's like, who are you that the universe is going to give you something without working at it? Like, what are you mm-hmm. What are you showing the universe? What are you showing God? What are you showing your goal that you would do for it in order to, you know, to want it, you know? Yeah. So if you're not, I mean, and you're just sitting there, then what makes me believe that you're going to do good with that goal once you achieve it, you know, if you haven't even worked for it?
Yeah.
You know? So you I totally get it. Yeah.
Like, practice knowing that you're willing to okay, so first, this is how I feel like it happens. You have the idea, then it, you know, you have to start making yourself do the discipline every day, and that's hard work. I think that's where the pain is, where the suffering yeah. is, the resistance to change, to alter, you know, the lifestyle, to make it a part of your lifestyle, and then yeah. also to realize, okay, this is hard. This is not easy. I'm not great at this right now.
And not give up right there. And not give up right there.
Mm-hmm. And then here you go. Doubts coming in, yes. worries.
Yes.
All of that stuff that you
But
have
also
to
like
just
self
kind of...
like self-justification comes mm-hmm. in too. Like, I know that, like, yes, you're right. The doubts, all that other stuff, like, I can't do this. This is not for me. And then all of a sudden the flip side where it's like, you know what? It wasn't even meant for me. I'm just gonna I'm gonna do something else. Like, all of a sudden you switch up your whole life that you thought that you were like, I never really wanted to be an actress. What am I talking about?
Right.
This is so selfish. Like, it's crazy how the mind will work itself.
Out of it just mm-hmm. so that you can stay in homeostasis.
Yes.
You
know? It's crazy. Yeah.
Like, wait, what? Something
exactly.
I really want to do in life is hard? No.
Right. You know? Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what, you know, the burn is, right? Because
yes.
you have to be in that hard stuff. I think, and this is what I was actually speaking with my class about recently. I say my class, but you know, I think of them as people that are just, we're sharing the same interests. So it's exciting to be able to like chat about, you know, philosophy, mindset, and stuff like that.
Right.
So all of that stuff, you know, we send to them, and we, you know, maybe there's a goal that we have for ourselves. There's a, you know, you want to be a writer. You say, okay, I want to be a writer. I want to be just like so-and-so. And I'm like, oh, but they're so much better than me. They're so
yes.
good, you know? But the fact of the matter is, you know, perhaps there was a genetic predisposition that they had that made something come a little bit easier for them, or just maybe have them interested in it. Maybe in a past life they did it and now they're doing it again. But really, what the only reason why they're good at anything is because they're practicing every
yes.
single day. You know, they're
yes.
practicing, and they have the discipline. They're, you know, and there might be a year where they don't even have that discipline, but then the next
yep.
year they're like, oh shoot, look what I did, squat this year. But the
mm-hmm.
the fact of the matter is, anybody, like, you know, you see kids that are like amazing, or people that are like amazing gymnastics or amazing singers, you're like, wow, when did you start doing that? When I was 3 years old. Oh, so that means you practice this whole time. It has nothing to do with like a skill is something, honestly, that is just practiced, disciplined and practiced. So we don't have to be intimidated by the fact that somebody can do something better. We just have to realize that the only thing that's stopping us from being as good as we want to be, or even in something, just having that thing in our life, is the practice, is just the doing.
Yep. It's so funny because I'm not going to get scientific on you, but because I'm going to mess up all the names of what parts of the brain this is, but there was a special on Netflix. It's called The Human Body or Human Something. It's on right now. And it talks exactly about what you just said, like your brain or you yourself, whatever you practice every single day, it is like a muscle memory. It will remember that all the time. So it will always go there. You know, that's why we hold on to certain memories. That's why we're able to hold on to names. But when it comes to things like running or boxing or writing or, you know, all that physical stuff, if you literally do it every single day, your brain will remember it. It will in fact come easy to you. It will in fact, like, you know, but it's funny because the minute you start to break that practice up, it'll start to die itself out. It'll start to lose itself. Wow. Like that muscle memory will. Yeah. And I notice it quickly, even when, like, let's say for instance, I don't do yoga for like 4 or 5 days. Right. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, like, I'm like, okay, I gotta sit down. I gotta do this today. I will feel even just the slightest like discomfort in one of the most easiest poses because I just haven't done it in 5 days. You know what I mean? And like the desire isn't there. But I think tapas is also about, like, you know, the results you're going to get after you do a run, or like or how you're going to feel after you do a run, or after you do a yoga practice, or after you do, you know, you practice your guitar, like, you know how that's going to make you feel afterwards. So the tapas is actually showing up for it. It's knowing that it's going to burn, but the passion and the fire that you're going to feel from it is what you want to actually achieve. And that's what tapas is. That's what self-discipline is, you know?
Yeah.
And so, like, it's hard to remember that. I almost feel like I got to, like, write it on a million post-its somewhere and just keep it around, you know, just to remind myself, like, okay, Lori, remember, this is how you're going to feel. Remember, this was your goal. Remember, this is what, you know, it's not going to be easy every single day, you know? So, yeah, I mean,
I think just recognizing, because I think the reason why that's challenging for you and it's challenging for me is that we are just these people that can be put in any situation and enjoy it and have a good time and just have, like,
like the comparison you're saying.
No. I mean, like, what I'm saying is, like, we, in reality, you and I are just earthly beings that can walk around in the forest and have the best time, you know, and we're like, you know, we don't need things, you know, I mean, we don't need success in order to be happy. Like, happiness to us is laughter.
Living.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Living, yeah. Experiencing and stuff like that. So the materialistic desires, we're not like that. It's just not within our nature. We've never been like that. You and I could sit on, of course, as we have before, sit on a train station waiting for a train for 2 hours, just making each other laugh. And we're like, what? We were supposed to be somewhere.
Right.
You know, yeah, the train but hasn't come. This is an opportunity for
jokes.
Yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes. But know? I think that deep down, we all know that we've been given a gift and that it's selfish for us not to share it. I mean, I know for myself, and I'm sure for you too, and I'm sure for others, we've all gone through something that we know we can teach others about. Like, we've all, you know, there's a reason why we're here. And I think that, yes, I totally agree with what you just said. Like, you could put us in a freaking corner room somewhere and we'll just make the best of it, you know? But we also know that, like, there's something that was given to us that we need to, like, share with others, whether it's to uplift them or support them or make a movement in some way, even if it's small, even if you've just moved 2 people, it doesn't matter. But, like, Yeah, I totally agree with you. We just had this discussion, I think, when I was at your house, and I was just like, we don't need the money, we don't need the right. success. But like, but I don't think, and I think it was John that was like, well, that's not what you're doing it for. Mm-hmm. You're not doing it for those reasons, because that's when people fail, when they're doing it for the success and for the fame and for the money. I think we're doing it because we're so excited about what we know that we're like, oh my God, I got to share this with other people. Like, I know this stuff, I got to share it with somebody else, even if it's one other person. And in order to do that, I have to write the book. In order to do that, I have to give off my practice. In order to do that, I have to make people laugh, or through my acting, I need to make people cry in order to show my story, in order to share who I am. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think we need to share our stories. We need to share our gifts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that that is definitely the reason why we always come back to that feeling of, well, yeah, I could totally just live my life living and being happy, you know, in a corner somewhere. But I do know that there's something more. Like, there's another reason that I'm on this earth, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I actually, the one thing that we definitely, you and I both have in common, is some people don't even have a passion. And we actually both have, from a very early age, had a passion. Like, you mm-hmm. had a passion for writing. I had a passion mm-hmm. for acting. I remember it was so special, because when we were in high school, our friends were very supportive of our passions.
Yeah.
You were very supportive of the acting, and I was very supportive of your writing. It's just mm-hmm. so funny that, you know, like, it wasn't like we didn't have the same exact interest, but it was, we respected each other's,
yes,
you know, artistic passion and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
But, absolutely. I think also another reason to get, practice in, as you said, be able to go to, even just think about, like, sharing your, talent or your yeah. gift with mm-hmm. And even to think about, like, why would I want to practice this every single day, you know, to even get better at it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And other things come from this. You're getting better at it, and you're growing, and then mm-hmm. you're learning. So mm-hmm. it's just like, yes, because you just said, it's like, okay, well, who cares, I'll practice it every day, big whoop. But the things that are happening is that you are growing and you're getting better at it, and it gets just, and then you learn from the thing. You learn so much going through it, you know, mm-hmm. as opposed to, you know, reaching the end point, you know. So yeah, that's totally it. Yes.
Perfect.
Yes.
Perfect point right there, what you said,
yeah.
Reaching the end point, as, because I was telling you before, I was like, what is that term? That we kind of live in a result-oriented society. You know, we're not,
right.
And I'm sure we even talked about this. We want things now. We want the results
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I was telling my husband the other day, because I was having a moment where I woke up in the middle of the night, and then my brain was overworking on worries, and then I'm going to tell you the secret to getting rid of that, which I didn't do, by the way. But okay. It was overworking on worries, and I was like, oh, okay, so cool, it's going to be an hour that I'm just going to sit here and think about all my worries. Awesome.
Right.
And the next day I told my husband, I was like, yeah, I couldn't get to sleep last night. He's like, why is that? And I said, you know, my brain just started worrying about 100 things.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, Christina, things take time. And I'm like, oh God, thank you for reminding me.
Why do we forget these simple things? I don't understand. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, things take time. So right. let them take time. Don't pressure yourself to have whatever the result is now, because the fact of the matter is, and we've discussed this before, once you get your result, you're done. You know?
Yeah. Like, then you're like, oh, okay.
Now what?
Now what? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So enjoy the journey. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
It takes it's a split second of happiness. And then you're like, okay, now I have to find something else to make me happy, because I was just focused on the result of that. And that was the mm-hmm. only thing that was going to. But that's not, you know, the truth is, it's like, there's so much, you know, that's where the learning comes in. There's so, you know, the enjoyment of just wanting to learn and get better at something. And that's the beauty of life, right?
Yeah. No. It's very true. It is. And that's why it's like, instead of like, it's like, we're trying to, you know, as we're young, we want to be, we're babies. We want to be toddlers. We're toddlers. We want to be, adults or teenagers. You know, we're teenagers. Mm-hmm. We want to be adults. We're adults. We want to be retired. We're retired. We want to be, you know, it's just like, we're always wanting to be somewhere ahead, when it's just like, why don't you just be where you are? You know, why don't you just enjoy where you are? Mm-hmm. Because it's just, they're fleeting moments. They're definitely fleeting moments. But I do like, I mean, it's almost like self-discipline, I think, is also really hard, because you know you have to give certain things up. But it's like what I just said before, whatever you're giving up is most likely non-supportive habits. They're not habits that are supporting your journey anyway, or your end goal, or whatever it might be. So just give them up, you know, like, you don't have to do 700 things in a day, you know, like, make sure you're practicing that one thing that you know for sure is going to give you the happiness that you want, you know?
Yeah. Or move you forward towards your
goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
No, it's the truth, because I could tell you right now, there is 100 million things that I want to do in my life, and I can't do all of them, but I'm telling you right now, I want to do all of them.
Yeah. No, but I think that that's always been, and I don't want to use the word problem, but I think that that's always been the setback, is we tell ourselves, like, well, why can't I do them all? But I mean, the reality is, like, nobody says you can't do them all, but why do you have to do them all right now? Mm-hmm. You know, like, why don't you just, like, work on one or two things and then see if that thing is really going to work in your life later on, or if it's going to work at all, you know, like, just, it's the belief of having to do everything right now. And that's where the anxiety comes in too, you know, because then we're thinking that we're like lacking, we're slacking if we're not doing it all right now, because that's the belief that we are brought up in, that like, we have to be multitasking and we have to be doing 10 million things in order to be busy, because if we're not busy, then that means that we're not productive in some sort of way, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So it's just like, I really just assess, like, what are the most important things that you have to do in your life? You know, you might have a list of things that you want to do, and but maybe there's only a narrower list that is the things that you actually need to do, and all that stuff, the other stuff you might, you know, because like, one of my things on my list is that I want to go roller skating every single day, but guess what?
Yes.
I don't need to go roller skating every single
day. Yes. 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 Yes.
So, but you know,
it's so true. Yeah. You don't have to take every single, like, okay, so I think we were invited out at one point to go do something. And I was just like, oh, yeah, I totally need to go do that. I want to go do that. But I knew for sure that I had other more important things that I needed to actually be doing to get to my goal, to get to a certain goal that I was working for. So I kind of had to give up that time with the friends, because and then I said to myself, who cares? There'll be other times. Like, I don't have to take every single invite. I don't have to say yes to every single invite, you know, like, there will be other times, you know, it won't be the last time, you know? So
I think that's the funny thing, is that I think people I've had people that have invited me over every single weekend, and I'm like, you got your thing and your life going, and I think that's great, but unfortunately, like, I'm just not in the same place as you.
Yes.
I need to, you know, I have, other goals, so we can do once a week, we can do twice a month,
yes,
you know, but I can't do every single week,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. And honestly, it's felt good when I've actually said that in not so many words. Like, I'll say, no, I'm actually working on other stuff right now, or, you know, like, it because I mean, it makes me feel like, yeah, like, put it out there. I'm not just saying no to your invite because I don't want to hang out. Of course I do. I freaking want to hang out every day of my life and just be, you know, like you said, laughing and doing funny, silly things all the time. But the truth of the matter is I also do actually want other goals I'm working at, and I'm,
yeah,
I'm sorry. I'm working on me right now. I'm doing me right now. So, yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, all right, you want me to let you go or no, I'm just kidding. No, I feel excited that part of your journey, I get to be a part of too, which I know is just going through these, topics and stuff yeah. like that. So
yeah,
I'm lucky. Mm-hmm. So before I switch to a different part of what we're talking about today, because I have mm-hmm. another idea about what we're talking about. I don't want to cut you off.
No.
So do you have anything? No. Okay.
I'm like, no, I got nothing. I got nothing. Okay. Bring it. Okay. What you got?
Well, I did say that I was going to tell a secret to, mm-hmm. And I wish it wasn't a secret, honestly. I really wish it wasn't, but, it's the practice of mindfulness. The practice of mindfulness. So what is mindfulness, right? Mindfulness is observing, noticing your thoughts.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a journey that, right? You notice your thoughts, you see if you like what you're telling yourself, if it works for you. And I'm going to just say, I'm going to be honest about some of these things that we're telling ourselves. You may think they're working for you. They're not working for you. Okay.
Oh,
so
okay.
That's another thing that you have, that people have to realize. And because, you know, sitting here and some people tell themselves that the truth is that, you know, the world is against me, or the truth is that I'll never be this, I'll never be that. Or, you know, that is all not working for you. That right, needs to right. be, you have to get rid of that. And those are things that you need to actually know in your mind. For instance, myself, with what I was sharing before, which is my worries, right? About, oh my gosh, can I do it? Can I do it? All the stuff I need to be doing, the place that I wish I was at, none of that stuff is working for me and my happiness and my success in life, right?
Right, but right.
I have to notice that. I have to observe that. I can't just ignore the fact that those are the thoughts that are going on in my head. And I have to accept it and go, oh, okay, look at that. Would you look at that? These are the thoughts that are popping up in my head okay. that are giving me a bellyache. They give me tension in my shoulders because I'm actually thinking this in a room in my head. Yeah. So then I can assess that and go, okay, let's try to accept it and let them go, you know, or even try to say, oh, that's not working for me. I have to, you know, whatever. But most important, I have to like maybe shift them to something more joyful. Maybe that works. I think at first that kind of stuff works. But then when you really start to notice your thoughts and you start to understand that these are just thoughts, then you can allow yourself to think, let me be here in the space that I am right now. Like right now I'm sitting in my bedroom talking to you on the bed, talking in my phone with the headphones. This is where I am right now. This is the space that I'm in. I'm not in a container in my head. I'm in a room.
So really
just being in your space. That's what living life is. Not being in your head and having all of the worries, the doubts, the concerns, the criticism. Mm-hmm. That's not life. That's just a container that we put ourselves in.
Right. Exactly.
I feel like you want to say something. Go for it.
No. I like what you just said because it's I think that that's stopped the fact that so many of us do live in our heads, myself included, stops us from really accomplishing so much because we get in our heads, we listen to the thoughts and we're just like, and then we've given up before we even started, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I think there's like a thing where it's like the minute you start going into your head, it's like, work your five senses, you know? So it's like, you start getting into your head and it's like immediately you have to say, okay, look at something, feel something, what's something you smell, what's something you take, you know, like all that. And then it'll bring you back in the present moment. I know there's like a 5-4-3-2-1 sort of thing like that, but it's important. And I think like the practice of mindfulness brings you to actually live in your mm-hmm. moment. You know, it actually does. I mean, I know for myself, that's what I practice. So I know, and it's
I was going to say, first of all, you just blew my mind with something with the whole five senses. And I was by the way, while you were saying that, my head was just bobbing. Yes, the whole time. but let's just think about how people are. When we go to our happy, our quick fixes, right? Our vices to get happy, to get calm. What is it? You know, it's taste, it's mm-hmm. sight, it's, so these can be, we can take them in a bad way. You know, we can put the TV on and watch, 10 hours of a show.
Oh, right. Mm-hmm.
We can mm-hmm. go for that brownie just because we want to be present. We want to be connected. We want to be out of our head. So maybe mm-hmm. what those vices are telling us is that we want to be out of our head and we want to be present, right?
Right.
So just noticing these are the bad habits that we're using just to allow ourselves to get present in life, as opposed to changing the bad habits. You have to change the bad habits to good habits. Mm-hmm. instead of going okay, maybe I have a bad habit because I want to become more present. I go and I grab a brownie because I can't stop thinking about the damn thing. and instead of doing that, I replace it with a carrot. You know, if you slice up a bunch of carrots, it can be quite nice. You could sit mm-hmm. there and eat them potato chips. Well,
Right, but that's what mindful eating is, right? That's why they, mm-hmm. I think there's that, not that we're trying to, we're not doing an ad for this, but I know Noom, N-O-O-M, mm-hmm. is very successful with people losing weight and all that stuff, because it's more like a, as far as I've read, it's more mind mm-hmm. Over matter. It's more like what you just said. It's more like that, making that decision of am I going to go for the brownie, or am I going to go and I know what the brownie is going to make me feel like afterwards, or am I going to go for the salad? You know, am I going to do that instead? So I think, it's like you just said, breaking the bad habits and quickly saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, do I really need to be watching 30 hours of TV, or can I instead spend 20 minutes reading a book, being productive mm-hmm. in that sort of sense, making the better decision, making the better choice.
I mean, I don't even know if book is the better answer, but I do know what is the goal that you're trying to achieve, right? Or do I have to spend 30 hours watching TV, or can I maybe get started on that book I wanted to write?
right. Mm-hmm.
And then just be realizing that, okay, I'm starting and it's bumpy. It's a bumpy road to start off writing any mm-hmm. book, and I'm mm-hmm. not but it eventually it's going to come to you. Eventually it's going to start getting good, but that's all practice.
Or am I going to sit and watch the 30 hours of TV? Or am I going to go through the hard part, sit down, grab a piece of paper and pen and write down exactly what I'm feeling right now to figure out what it is that is happening? Cause that's the scary part. The scary part is facing the challenge, is facing the fear,
Oh yeah. Sometimes I totally need that. I more often than not, I have to, I get thoughts and that's the way it is. This is how my brain works, and you're making all kinds of sound effects over there. I'm loving it. I'm like, I want to record.
Oh, sorry. the door opening and closing.
Is mm-hmm. it? I thought mm-hmm. it was first it was a sharpener. It's so funny. But it's just kind of I forgot what I was gonna say. But easily distracted. Oh yeah, I was talking about just getting a pen and paper. And listen, dude, we can do this when we're irritated with somebody, right?
Yeah.
When mm-hmm. I'm so annoyed with so and so. Take a pen and paper. Don't call them up. Don't insult them on Facebook. Take a pen and paper and write it down.
Yes,
and
then absolutely.
You got mm-hmm. it all out. Mm-hmm. Move on with your life.
Mm-hmm.
Need to call somebody up and say,
there's a more productive way to deal with your feelings of anger or whatever they may be than going with the anger immediately. Yeah. Like, yeah. Poise yourself and say, okay, wait a minute. Is there another way I can do this? Can I just, like, you know, can I deal with it on my end before, like you just said, I go call somebody and ruin their day by complaining about this person or putting it on Facebook, yeah, right. And you know, like, just, there's got to be another way, you know? Yeah, like,
I'm I'm definitely not saying don't tell anybody how you feel, hold it inside. But I think that make sure, like, I think as we discussed before, you and I personally, make sure you're talking to the right people. You want to be talking, if you're ever going to share a complaint about somebody else, you want to make sure you're talking to the person that's not going to drag it and make it worse, yes. And be like, yeah, that person mm-hmm. is this and that. But maybe the person that's going to be a good listener.
Right.
And then maybe, you know, just be like, yeah, I hear you. And carefully throw another perspective that's not too judgmental about it, but
right.
you know that you right. just I mean, hey, you know, but you also know who that person is in your life, that person mm-hmm. that you feel like comfortable with, that's not going to make you feel worse after yes. the phone call.
right yeah absolutely, you know? Absolutely, you know,
and that's sometimes... not going to hold it and throw yeah, it in your face. Sorry, no. Go ahead.
You know, and sometimes you just, you know, the self-discipline means like you got to stay in the unknown. You got to stay in the awkward, in the unpleasant, you know, like you're not always going to know. We don't know how our lives turn out. We don't. We have an idea and we can work towards that idea, but you also have to stay in those unpleasant feelings, in those unknown feelings. And it's scarier than... it's less scary than you think when you're staying in the unknown, you know, like the unknown is definitely, it's definitely hard in the sense of like, it just like feels like heavy, you know, like, oh my God, I need to know, you know, like it's that feeling of, you know, if you know, then it won't be scary. I don't know, like fear of flying, let's say have a fear of maybe because, and meanwhile, they've never even gone through it, but they just like already feel like in their minds, they're like, no, it's going to be scary. I don't want to do it.
Right.
But you might actually learn something from that. You might actually gain courage and gain strength and say to yourself, wow, I actually did it. I actually went through it. I actually went through the tough stuff and here I am. And I feel great about it, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And actually, I made a dedication to myself, I guess, 2 years ago, because it wasn't last year. It couldn't be last year. But, I mean, a little bit it was last year, but I did a fear of heights. I got over my fear of heights.
Oh, right.
Which was pretty incredible, you know, that that I can actually do that, because I don't think I made myself have a fear of heights, because I thought it was so weird that my legs would just shake on their own, my knees.
Right.
Like, I'd be like, wow, okay. Maybe it was because my father used to go crazy and rock back and forth on the Ferris wheel. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness. Could be. Yeah.
But you know, like, I always loved roller coasters. I always loved all of that stuff. But, and then just yesterday, after I had my daughter, I was like, I'm never watching a scary movie again, because my my imagination would just go crazy all the time, like,
right.
You know, just on, like, everything was vivid. So I was like, yeah, I'll watch a scary movie with my husband yesterday, and I was like, this wasn't even scary. I don't even know what the heck. You know?
Maybe I need to get over those fears too, because I'm just like, ooh.
But if it's a desire, if it is a desire, right? Maybe the thing is that if we fear something, it's honestly because we want to fear it, right? I mean, that sounded bad, but but I'm saying, like, if we're just like okay with fearing it, right? We're okay with being in the fear because it protects us from what we think could possibly go wrong. So we use the fear as a protective shield so that we can avoid harm on ourselves.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So for instance, like, yeah, I fear heights. That's going to prevent me from going into places that put me in a position where I'm scared. So I'm, you know, or I think that my fear is the thing that's going to protect me from falling because I'm ready for it or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Right. 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 Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I walked basically on a telephone wire and I was totally cool with it the beginning of this year. So I was like, wow, this is so cool. You know, it is interesting to think about, like, okay, first I can assess, why do I have this fear? Then I can think to myself, all right, is this something I want to overcome? And how cool would it be if I did overcome it, you know?
And get out of your comfort. Like, so many of us stay comfortable, which mm-hmm. means we stay small. And, like, we weren't meant to stay small. We weren't meant to live small or play small or do any of those things. And, like, you know, your fear of getting over this, you know, the heights thing, like, it, if you held on to that fear, then I'm sure that you would have stopped yourself from doing so many other things that I, you know, are so beautiful, you know, like they're, you know, maybe you'll go hiking on a higher mountain, or, you know, you'll fly to longer, you know, places, like, you know, just our fears. We think that, like, our one fear keeps us from, like, let's say, for instance, the fear of success, right? Like, I know that's sort of my fear. Like, there's a fear of success and there's, like, the imposter syndrome. I don't know if you know what that means.
Yes, I do.
So I have those. I have, like, I know I can succeed. I know I can. I know I had the ability. Like, I know who I am and what I am as a writer. But I also sometimes feel like an imposter, right? But why do I feel that way? Because I watch and listen or read other people's things and I'm like, oh my God, I'm not as good as them, right? So I have that fear of succeeding. I have that fear. So I hesitate, but I don't realize that I'm not only stopping myself from fear of writing the book or fear of those things, but I'm also fearing then succeeding in other areas of my life. You know, like that one fear like perpetuates into other fears. Like your one fear of heights could perpetuate into other things had stopped you from living in other, you know, other ways. So, you know, we have to look at our fears and ask ourselves, what else is it stopping me from doing, you know? And most likely it's making you live small. So,
yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. When it comes to the fear of heights, when it comes to like the smaller fears that are less important to us to overcome, which would, you know, be a fear of heights. It's like, okay, whatever. Right. I'm afraid of heights. Who, you know, there's plenty of people that are. But if I can overcome that, it allows me to realize I can overcome other obstacles in my path. So that's why it's great to overcome. It's great to walk on the coals, right? Which I guess would be my next fear. But also what you were saying about you know, the imposter syndrome, the other thing, fear of success, right?
Right.
Guess what? How many people have that? A lot of people. But you know what? Is that the thing that's stopping you is the question. So if the thing is that what's stopping me is the fear of success, notice that and be like, oh, I just have a fear of success. I'm going to keep continuing on this path. Oh, I just have imposter syndrome. That's fine. It's a normal thing. Let me just continue on my path.
Yes.
Just being observant and realizing that's the thing that's stopping you and then be like, oh, that's just the head game. You know, it's not real. That's not the real, the fact, that's not the truth. The truth is, as you said before, you don't know what the end result is. You don't know what's going to happen at the end, you know, which is why we're so result oriented. I think it's because we want to be safe. We want to make sure that we're not wasting our time, that we're going to be successful anyway. So, you know, we're not going to waste our time and do something that we're not going to be successful with. If we know the result, then yeah, okay, cool. I'll do it, you know? So, but the thing is, all of that stuff is in the head. It's in the mind, and we feel it in the chest. We feel it in the belly. We feel it in the muscles. When we start to feel pain because we're resisting the thing that we're truly meant to do or that we truly have the desire to do. So just really basically looking at our thoughts and going, why am I not doing the thing that I want to do? Why am I not practicing every single day? Oh, it's fear. Cool. Let's push through that. Let's push through it, you know? Push the boulder.
More metaphors. Right. Yeah. No, it's true. And like, like we said before, like, stay in the fear. It's telling you something. It's telling you to keep going. Life wasn't meant to, I mean, what is that saying? It's such a cliche saying, but it says, you know, they say it all the time. Like, life wasn't meant to be, it never said life would be easy or something like that, or whatever. Yeah. I don't even know what the saying is, but yeah, it's true.
We get
like,
it. Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't like,
if how it was boring, easy, then it's not worth it or something.
I was just going to say, right. Like, how boring would it be if everything was handed to us? Right. Like, okay, then what really is the actual point in living if we don't even get to try things out, you know, succeed and fail, you know, I mean, both of them. So yeah, I mean, my grand takeaway here is, like you said, you don't have to do it all at once. Like, you don't have to do it all right now. And definitely work on the goal. Like, I know for me, I have to put a lot of things aside that I'm committed to, that I've said yes to, in order to just like commit myself to this thing that I want to do, you know, like I have to, like, I definitely don't ever want to give up my routine in the morning. But I know that I need to be a little more self-disciplined, you know what I mean, in order to reach my goal. So my big takeaway is definitely to, and like, stick around on the hard parts and not listen to my head when it's like, all right, Laura, do you really have to do this? Just move on to something else. You got time later, you know, like all that other stuff. Like, the cleaning can come later. The other commitments to like other, you know, committees that I might be on can come later, you know? Yeah. I know I definitely have learned to say no a lot more lately, you know?
So. I think there is a pandemic going on in the world, which has to do with, I'm going to think that cleaning is the most important thing in the world so I can avoid actually succeeding in the things that I want to do.
Yeah. Even though you're absolutely right.
You know, even though I think that cleaning, you know, should be a part of your life and just, you know, organizing, because it also helps you organize your thoughts and your life and stuff like that. But just being like, you know what, why don't we like just redo the whole living room when it's unnecessarily.
Yes. It like, you don't have to do that right now. Do we really need to do the whole living room?
Yeah. No.
Absolutely not. You know, like,
do that thing you really want to succeed at, or, you know, like get better at.
And like the whole, do I need to sleep in till 7-8 o'clock? No. Like, I can actually get up early. Like, there has been, I don't know what is going on with me these last 2 weeks, like, where it's like, I tell myself, I don't have to wake up that early. But then, like, I wake up a little later, and then it's about like 9 o'clock, and I'm still sitting on the couch watching the news. For what reason, I don't even know why I'm watching. I'm not even paying attention to it. And like, the day has dragged on, and I haven't even completed anything that I wanted to complete for myself.
Well, that's,
you know,
an interesting
so
thing you can think about, you know, not so much that you need to complete everything in the certain time slot, but that you can commit a certain amount of time to that every single day.
Right.
Is it going to make it easy for you if you stick to a time slot? Yes and no. You know,
because then like, then you'll beat yourself down if you didn't stick to the time slot. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Eventually that's going to break, you know, if you're too, you know, it's like, so, you know, another thing is just to be like, oh, it's 9 o'clock. All right. You know, I'm going to do the most important things that I want to do. And I would say, you know, for me, it's going to be at this point in my life today.
Yeah.
Like, just because I'm older now, it is going to be eating healthy, working out, getting the cardio in. That is going to be an important part, just because I'm, you know, that's just how I feel I have to do to take care of myself and to continue the momentum. But then also, like, what is the thing I'm trying to pursue? What is the big goal that I really want? That, you know, so the routine, the meditation, the workout, whatever the heck, that's going to be a part of my thing, you know?
Right. Yes.
I mean,
yes.
And then the, spending time with my family. These are the things that I realized that are most important to me. My family could give two noogies if the place is spotless, honestly. I've come to that realization.
Right. Yeah.
So that's kind of a me thing, I guess, but...
No, but it's like, oh my god, I can't believe you said two noogies. You just brought it back, girl. You brought it back to like 1990 something. But yeah, I think that that's, you know, it's funny because I mean we're just like talking here. I don't even care that we're like in an hour, but I think that that's, you know, like priorities have definitely started to really creep into my life finally, where it's like I don't care what my house looks like, you know, like I realized it was really more my head than anybody else's, you know? Mm-hmm, so like this entire thing of like having the house clean and organized, and no, I can't sit down to write unless like my desk looks a certain way. Like, yes, no. I know we talked about this in another like Yama before, but I'm not saying keep it. What I'm saying is when I ask myself, when I say to myself, all right, no, I cannot sit down to write because right now I got to be doing the dishes. Is that really it? Or is it that I'm just trying to avoid the thing I need to write about? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's the question I start asking myself now. So usually it's I'm trying to avoid the thing that I need to write about, or that I'm just trying to avoid writing altogether because I go into this whole imposter syndrome thing. So when I'm able to talk to myself that way, then I realize, all right, Lori, turn that off, go sit down and do the writing. You know, but that's where, like you said before, that's where the mindfulness comes in. That's where the awareness comes in. That's why practice is important. And these yamas and niyamas are important because they teach you these skills. They teach you to talk to yourself in that manner. They teach you to not listen to the voice that's telling you, go clean, go do this, go do that. Avoid all the things that are really meant for you and go do the things that are not meant for you instead, mm-hmm. you know, so I think practice and observances of these yamas and niyamas and other things that we're going to talk about are definitely helpful in your success story, in your life, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think honestly, just to what you were saying too, a reminder that sometimes we're avoiding the things that we want to do because by cleaning and doing the things that we think need to be done when, and then we're also thinking to ourselves, well, we're trying to make everybody else happy too. So if I clean the dishes, that makes it everybody else happy. Right. At the same time, sometimes you have to say, you know what? It's not my job to make everybody else happy. It's my job to make myself happy.
Yes, you know? Yes.
And if
somebody wants
to walk in and go, oh, the dishes aren't done, you just be like, cool, you have two hands, do them yourself. You know?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they'll get it. They'll get it that, oh, I forgot you're a human. You can.
Yes. No, but you know, it's funny because even me and myself, like, it just happened with my husband this past weekend. Like, something had happened. I don't remember what it was. And I think he went ahead and did something and he goes, why don't you ever ask me for help? Oh, he went ahead and like got the laundry from downstairs and brought it up and like folded it. And I was just like, oh my God, that's so cool. And he's like, but I mean, I can do this stuff for you. He's like, you know, maybe I'm not quick to see it like you are because you know, like I'm always seeing that stuff, you know, mm-hmm. he's like, but you can like, just like he says to me, just like you've helped me in my stuff and the things that I do. He's like, I usually will ask you. It's not like I'm expecting you to come downstairs and be, you know, helping me with the project that I have. But, you know, you ask me and just like, you know, just say, hey, babe, can you do me a favor? You know, can you just like, you know, like, I think that's another hard part is the asking the people around you for the help to like, they can do it. Like you just said, they have hands, they can figure it out, you know?
As a woman, honestly, I think that is one of our biggest challenges, asking for help. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I think my husband does a lot of stuff on his own, believe me, but if he really wants help, he will ask me.
Right.
But for me, I'm like, I'm not asking anybody, I'm doing this myself.
It's so true. And it's like, I know it's definitely a Capricorn character trait too. Like I know for Capricorns, it's like, I know how to do it. I can figure out, I can do it. You know, like I don't need the help, but, mm-hmm. But like you said, definitely as a woman as well, like we think we need to take on all these tasks that are, you know, quote unquote women tasks and that we don't need to ask for help, you know? Mm-mm-mm. So yeah.
Definitely not how I'm living my life. my husband does the dishes, does the cooking, he wants to do it, and it works out for us. So, yeah, yippee-yay-yay. But yeah, absolutely. There, you know, like at some point, you have to like realize that you have to make yourself happy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, anyway, so yes, that was fun. We really, it wasn't as challenging as we thought it was going to be. We burned through it.
Yeah, we burned through it. Yes, we did. I think we touched on a lot of things, and I'm excited to share those with everyone.
Yeah. Also, next week, right? We have mm-hmm. Another podcast, I guess the second to last next week, Niyama. Yes. And mm-hmm. can you remind me of what that one was again?
It's going to be Svadhyaya, which is self-study.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Isn't that like what we talk about all the time? This is what I love. Like, you can't have one yama or niyama without the other. They all just...
Yes. It all, like, know? Comes together. That's what I mm-hmm. love. You know, it's all, like, it all trickles into itself, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the greatest thing about it for me is, honestly, I just feel so much more content in my life and... just I feel like I'm connected to life and being present just by understanding my mind, how it's working, what's working for me, what's not working for me,
right.
and just like going through even these yamas and niyamas to just help break it down. So this is by the way, the book that I read is called The Yoga Sutras of Patanjali. And I even had a friend recently get it, and they were like, wow, I love it. You know, I just love all this kind of stuff that helps you really evaluate the mind and stuff like that. But.
Nice. Yeah. I gotta pick that book up actually.
So cool.
Yeah. All right.
Lovely. So thank yes. you all for joining us today on our podcast. And hopefully there's a nice little nugget of information that you could take and bring into your life. And, you know, hopefully whatever it is that we're talking about helps you just kind of like yourself better, understand yourself better, and be more present.
Yep.
You know?
Agreed. Yes. So tune in next week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Chris.
Bye.
Bye.